Okay, so let's talk a little bit of, as I called it, Mashiv Haruach and rain in Israel. So at least around here, all anyone's been talking about is the extremely bizarre weather that we've been having for Israel Sukkot time. Normally, it's not supposed to rain. Now, right, we should be getting rain maybe next week, maybe in a few weeks. This is a bit early in the season. But the reason that this is even surprising is because Israel has a very, very set rainy season, right? There's a reason that we start saying Mashiv HaRuach when we do, and V'tein Tal U'Matar when we do, right? Mashiv HaRuach, obviously, we'll start saying on Shmini Atzeret. V'tein Tal U'Matar Levracha, we'll start saying 2 weeks after that. And the reason being because in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, we didn't want to actually request rain in a very explicit way until the people who traveled from the farthest, farthest-flung areas of the Jewish people had time to return from Aliyah L'Regel before the rainy season really started in earnest. But anyway, because of the leap year, we do have this this interesting phenomenon that it's starting to rain already now. Now, obviously, in some without understanding the fact that Israel has a very set rainy season, you don't understand many hashkafic points and halachic points. Just to name one, right? The Chazal, the Mishnah, talks about how if it rains on the first night of Sukkot, which therefore makes it that you can't really fulfill your mitzvah, it's like a servant who brought a cup of water, brought a cup to drink to his master, and the master took it and threw it back in his face. Now, I've heard that said so many times in Chutz La'aretz about why we don't want it to rain on the first night of Sukkot, because it would be terrible. It indicates that God is angry with us, which maybe that's true. But the primary claim of Chazal is that it's not supposed to rain on Sukkot. It's not yet quite the rainy season, and therefore if it rains, that's really an aberration from the normal, and therefore for it to rain on Sukkot, definitely the first night of Sukkot, and prevent us from being mekayim our mitzvah, that's really God saying, that's God rejecting our mitzvah. But in Chutz La'aretz, where it rains all year round, not all in Chutz La'aretz, obviously, certain places outside of Israel have the same climate as Israel, but in, let's say, North America, or, I don't know, England, or whatever, the weather is, right, it rains all the time. So there really isn't a particular message or a meaning to the fact that it rains on Sukkot as any other time. It's not a crazy thing, right? It's actually, it's pretty common to have it over an 8-day chag to have rain at some point. That's not at all strange, as opposed to Israel, where it really is weird. So I think the combination of the weird weather we're having and the fact that we're beginning to say Mashiv HaRuach on Shmini Atzeret and then V'tein Tal U'Matar, it's worth understanding why there is this emphasis about rain in our tefillot, in our halachot, in our hashkafa, because this is one of the things that really is unique to Israel in the eyes of Tanakh. I wanted to send you a source sheet, but my internet for some reason is down, but it's okay, the sources are not so complicated. If you happen to have a chumash, it'll be helpful. If not, I'll read the psukim and we'll be fine. The first thing to note is as follows, is that Israel, in the eyes of chumash, one of its fundamental uniqueness is, in fact, the fact that it has a rainy season, and that it's dependent on that rainy season for sustenance. And that's what you get in Devarim Perichet Pasuk Zayin, where God contrasts Israel from Mitzrayim and says, the difference between Eretz Israel, if I asked you what is the difference between Israel and Chutz La'aretz, or Israel and Mitzrayim, which is really the paradigm of the land we don't want to be in, if I didn't know Chumash, I wouldn't have chosen rain. But when you read Chumash, that's actually what you get. And the Pasuk says, Ki Adonai Elecha Mivyachal Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachle Mayim Ayanot Teomot Yotzim Bavika Bahar. God is bringing you to a good land, which has streams and springs, coming from the plains and the hills. Eretz Chita, Seora, Gefen, Teina, Verimon, Eretz Yechem, and Udvash. Now that's a pasuk everyone does identify with the uniqueness of Israel. The land that has the Shivat Haminim, has wheat and barley and grapes and figs and dates, etc. Eretz, Asher lo b'mezgenu tocha b'alechem, lo techzer kol ba, Eretz Hashem, nevav arzom, Eretz, tachtov nechoshev. It's a land where you eat food without stint, you'll lack nothing. Right, so Israel is very good. But if you skip to Dvarim Perek Yud, you find out, Yud and Yud Aleph, you find out that its goodness, all this produce, it comes to us in a slightly different way than it does elsewhere. So it says, Vata. Right, so one of the themes of Dvarim is that, yes, Israel is good. Yes, living in Israel is good. You'll have all this wealth and all this good produce, but you'll only get it if you act well. And that's why Moshe constantly throughout Dvarim has to tell the Jewish people, look, as you go into Israel, it's always important to do the right thing because there's reward and punishment. But specifically, going to Eretz Israel, it's important to do the right thing. Because your existence in Israel is dependent on it. So in Perek Yud, in Dvarim, Hashem says, V'ata Yisrael, Ma Adonai Elecha Shoel Mimach, Kim Lira, Et Adonai Elecha, Lechet B'chol Derecha, V'la Avauto, V'la Avot, Et Adonai Elecha, B'chol Vavcha, V'chol Namshecha. What does God ask from you? To fear Him, to follow His ways, to love Him, to serve Him, L'shmor Mitzvot Adonai, V'chukotav Asher Nochim, V'tzavcha Yom L'tov Lach, to keep your the Mitzvot, which I command you today. God owns the earth and the heavens, etc. Dot, dot, dot. In Perek Yud Aleph, you have to keep the mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, so that you will come to Israel, inherit it, so that you can live in the land of Zavat Chalav Udvash. So in these psukim, Hashem tells you very specifically that He's not just giving you the Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash for nothing. He's given to you if you keep the Torah, which obviously is the theme of the second parak of Shema as well. Right? Which is... But... how does that express itself? And here's where we get to the rain component. So if you continue in Perek Yud Aleph, Hashem explains, what does it mean when He says, keep the Torah so that you live in Israel? So He says in Pasuk Yud, Ki aretz asher ata vashama lirishta, lo heretz mitzrayim hi, asher yitzata misham asher tzra et zaracha vishkita v'raglacha kegan hayarak. Because the land that you're coming into is not like Egypt, where you left from, because in Egypt, you would water with your feet. Now, what does it mean you'd water with your feet? So in Egypt, you had the Nile, and the way people, and the Nile is constant, and the way that you would irrigate the fields is basically the Nile is running, and there are tributaries, and there are irrigation ducts, aqueducts, and whatever, channels that were built. And all you had to do, really, was sort of kick around the dirt a little bit to make sure that the irrigation channels that were dug out of the Nile would reach your field, and that was it, right? That's all it took. It took kicking it with your leg, with your foot. That's not true of Israel. Va'aretz asher atem ovrim shama lirishta, eretz harim uvkaot lamtar shamayim tishtamayim. But the land you're going into is full of valleys and hills, which I know very well, living in the middle of the mountain range, right? Now in the mountain range, you don't have rivers coming to you. In the valley, you don't necessarily have rivers coming to you. So how do you get rain, how do you get water, and how does anything grow? How are you going to get the Shivat Haminim to grow only from rain? And if it's rain, the next pasuk is, Eretz Asher Adonai Elecha Dorish Ota Tamid, Einei Adonai Elecha Ba, Mirishina Shana V'Acharit Shana. It's a land that God has to seek it, look after it from the beginning of the year, right, always, from the beginning of the year to the end. And the Torah tells you, shockingly, that actually the way you know that Israel is unique is that God chose to make it a land which did not have guaranteed irrigation the whole year. Because one of the themes of Dvarim, we saw this a lot in Vayelech and in Ha'azinu, is that constant wealth and constant security make sure that people leave God, because then they don't feel God in their life. But in Israel, God wants it to be that hashkacha is felt palpably simply by the nature of the seasons, and the nature of the dependence that the ecosystem imposes on us. And therefore, what typifies the difference between Mitzrayim and Israel is, yes, it's a great land. It has the Shivat Aminim, but God wants your living in Israel to be dependent on keeping the Torah. And the way he did that was by giving you a land that doesn't have natural rivers, doesn't have natural irrigation, depends on rain. And if it depends on rain, so in the theology of Tanakh, if it depends on rain, it depends on God to send the rain. And therefore, it depends on you keeping the mitzvot for God to send the rain. And therefore, whether or not you have food and whether or not you have rain is going to be an indicator of whether God is happy with you or he's not happy with you. And that's what you get in the second parak of Shema. V'haya im shamoa tishmu al mitzvotai asher nochi mitzaveh etchem hayom li'ava adonai aleichem lo'avdo b'chol vavchem v'chol navshchem. If you keep the Torah and you follow God, so then, v'natati mitaretzechem bi'ito yore'u malkosh. God will give you the Yoreh, the first rain, Umalkosh, the last rain. And then you will be able to collect your grain, your wine, and the oil. So when you put these psukim together, what you get clearly is that, right, God says, Israel is great, it has great produce, but God shows a land which does not have natural irrigation, because he wants your living in the land to be dependent in a very direct sense on hashgacha, on how you act. And in a land like Mitzrayim, that would be unnatural, right? God would have to sort of superimpose a punishment if you didn't listen. He doesn't have to do that in Israel. You're always in a precarious state because the land depends on constant rain during the right seasons. And without that, you won't have produce. And if it rains in the wrong time, it'll be bad, right? The raya to this is the story in Shmuel, right? When Shmuel was angry at the Jewish people for asking for a king, so what did he do? How did he prove that God was angry at the Jewish people, Gavi?
He got God to send rain.
Yeah, he made a thunderstorm in the middle of the summer. Which is crazy, right? That proves that God is angry in the world of Tanakh, right? If it rains in the summer, God is angry. If it doesn't rain in the winter, God is angry. And it proves that you're not doing the right thing. The Ramban makes this clear on that pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph, and he says, "Upshuto shel mikra b'derech hazara." This is the simple meaning of the pasuk. It's a warning. Du lachem. You have to know. She'ena keretz Mitzrayim. Israel is not Egypt. La'shkodot regal min ha'yorim min ha'gamim. That you can just irrigate with the rivers and streams. Kigan ha'yarek, like a vegetable garden. Raki eretz ha'yim uvkaot l'mitar shamayim tishtamayim. It's a land of hills and valleys which needs water. Lo bin an yacher. It doesn't get water through any way besides for rain. Which therefore means that God has to watch it. And what does it mean God watches it? God watches it by letting it rain. Now, the simple pshat in the psukim of Mereshita Shana Ad Achrit Shana is from this season until the end of this season. Right? Because Sukkot is supposed to be the end of last year. It's the Chag HaAsif. Right? If you want to understand what Sukkot is, it's the Chag HaAsif. Because the rain is supposed to start right after Sukkot, which means that Sukkot is the end of the summer, which is the non-rainy season, which is the time that you collect, right? You gather in, you harvest, and then you start again right after Sukkot, right? That's why the day after Sukkot, we start mentioning rain, and 2 weeks after Sukkot, we start praying for rain. Because the calendar is supposed to be, it rains starting a little after Sukkot for a few months until Pesach. things start growing then around, right, start being harvested around Pesach, and the culmination of everything coming in from the fields, because it's the just about to be the new rainy season, right? Mereshit Hashana ad Acharit Shana. The Reshit Hashana is basically Sukkot going after Sukkot, right? It's like Rosh Hashanah is on the border, right? Rosh Hashanah through Sukkot is like straddling the beginning and end of a new agricultural cycle. And Ibn Ezra notes that in Pshat, Rosh Hashanah is not the day of Rosh Hashanah. It's this whole, like, several-week period, which is the transition from the end of the last agricultural cycle into the beginning of the new one. And what the Ramban says, the simple pshat here, is that what's unique about Israel is that it doesn't have a river. It has rain, which forces God to pay attention by giving rain. And then, if he doesn't give it, if you violate God's will, so lo yidrosha d'begish meiratzon, so God won't give you rain. Which is how v'inehi ra'amod v'lo tizra v'lo tatzmech liyaba kol ha'isev b'haran, then nothing will grow. And that, in a nutshell, is the theology of Tanakh. Right, of Schar and Onesh in Israel, is that God wants you to, one, keep the Torah. Two, he wants your living in Israel to be dependent on the keeping of the Torah. And three, the way he does that is by giving you a land that doesn't have natural irrigation but has rain. And therefore, all he has to do is not let it rain when it's supposed to, or rain when it's not supposed to indicate his displeasure and make it impossible for you to live in Israel and enjoy the produce, the Shivat Aminim, that typify the beauty of Israel. And therefore, that's what makes Israel different from Chutz La'aretz, specifically Mitzrayim, is the fact that it's a land in which God's hashkacha is felt, because the country depends on rain and not rivers. Now, this becomes clear not just Israel versus Mitzrayim, but there are even parts of Israel that are Mitzrayim-like. And in Tanakh, they are the most evil places in the world. What is that, Gavi? Right? What is the most evil part of Israel itself?
The most evil part?
Yes.
I don't know.
It was so evil that it got destroyed and overturned by fire from heaven.
Stone.
Yeah, good. Stone and Amorah. But if you look in Bereishit, Perek Yud Gimel, when Avram says to Lot, listen, we can't live together. So we got to split up. He parid na me'alai. Ima smol ve'imina ve'imayamin ve'ismila. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. Now, left and right in Tanakh mean what? What direction does he mean?
Right and wrong.
So actually not. Right and left here are both correct. Right and left are north and south. Right, left is north and right is south. Because the presumption is that you're facing east, and that's why south is Teman. Right, Teman just means south, but that's to the south. So what he's really telling him is go north and I'll go south, or go south and I'll go north. But Lot does neither of those. Vayisa Lot et Einav. Instead of turning left or right, he picks his head up, which means he faces east. Vayar et Kol Kikar Yarden. He sees the one part of Israel that doesn't depend on rain, which is the Jordan River Valley. Right? Vayar et Kol Kikar Yarden. Ki Chula Mashke. That it is well watered. Lifnei Shachet Adonai et Stone Veramara Kigan Adonai Ke Eretz Mitzrayim Boachot Zohar. Because it was before God had destroyed Sodom and Amorah, which were like the Garden of God. They were like Garden of Eden. Ke Eretz Mitzrayim, just like Egypt. Right? The one part of Israel that is Mitzrayim-like, and ironically Gan Eden-like, but Gan Eden didn't work very well, right? Because man sinned as soon as he got there, is Sodom and Amorah, which sat in the Jordan River Valley. And when Lot chooses to move there, right, that's when he enters the evil society. Because again, in Tanakh it all fits together, right? Wealth is the number one reason in Dvarim that people leave God and go to Avodah Zarah, because they don't need God anymore, right? Vayishman yishurun vayivat. Right? When the Jews get fat, so they kick against God because they don't need him. So to live, to choose to live in the parts of Israel that have rivers, the very few parts of Israel that have rivers, it's like entering into Mitzrayim, even though you're in Israel. And you see how well that works. It goes to stone, right? They become selfish. They don't want to let in guests. But, you know, when you talk about it, and you say, oh, they're selfish, they don't want guests, they don't want to help people. To understand why that's happening, it's because they live in the Jordan River Valley. They live in the one place in the region where it's relatively easy to have perpetual wealth, because you don't need to rely on rain, you have a river. And that lack of dependence on God very easily turns into pure evil and selfishness. Hence Stom, hence Mitzrayim. So this actually is a consistent theological point that Tanakh is making, is that even within Israel, it's not that you can't live in the river valley, you can, but if you do, there's particular danger there. Evidence, Stom, evidence, Lot, who goes to Stom and leaves Avram in order to enter into that type of society. Now, Rashi makes this point as well, all the way back in Bereshit, right? Just to highlight how much this is definitional to Tanakh for Rashi. Rashi in Bereshit Perek Bet, so this will get you ready for Simchas Torah, right? I'm getting you a little bit of Mashav Aruach, a little bit of Shmini Atzeret, a little bit of Sukkos, a little bit of Simchas Torah, right? So in Simchas Torah, we'll already start reading Bereshit, and then we'll go to Parshat Bereshit. So the Shabbos after that. So the Torah says, "Eile toldot haShamayim vaAretz biBaram biYom Asod Adonai Elohim Eretz veShamayim." So when the world was created, so v'chol siach asadeh terem yiyeh vaAretz v'chol esav asadeh terem yismach ki lohim tira Adonai Elohim al aretz v'adam ayin lavod adama. Nothing had grown before Adam was around, because it hadn't rained and there was no man to work the land. So Rashi says, why did nothing grow until Adam was born? And why didn't it rain until Adam was born? Right? What is the meaning of this, that none of the plants grew until Adam was around, because then God could bring rain? So Rashi says, my time Elohim tir, why didn't God bring rain? Lefish Adam ayin lavor adama ve'im mavkir betovatom shel gshamim. Because man didn't exist to recognize the goodness of God. And that was the problem. Ukshaba Adam v'yadashu heim tzorech olam. When man was born and he knew that you needed rain, he'd palel lehem. So he started davening. V'yardu v'tzamchu elanot v'ad shayim. So then it started raining, and then things started growing. And for Rashi, right, the point of rain is not just to ensure you do the good thing. It's even more basic. Right, part of it is that you'll do the right thing. But even more basic, what will ensure that you do the right thing is simply recognizing that you owe God. Right, that God is providing for you. If you really internalize that God is providing for you, you would do the right thing. And therefore, God, at the beginning of the world, refuses to let anything grow by refusing to let it rain until man exists to recognize that he needs God, to daven for rain, and then appreciate the rain and everything that grows because of it. So, this notion that God wants us, lechatchila, to live in a land with set rainy seasons, where we depend purely on the rain, because we don't have other ways of getting water to our crops, and therefore, we will recognize that everything comes from God. And therefore, when things aren't coming, we'll recognize that God is unhappy with us. When rain does come, we will appreciate it. And because we appreciate it, we'll keep the Torah, and we'll daven, and we'll keep the Torah, we'll show appreciation both in what we say to God and in how we act. Right? That whole sort of combination of values are all wrapped up in the seasonal structure that God chose to have in Israel and the country that he chose to give to us, which is dependent on this theologically laden ecosystem. And for Rashi, that is literally, right, a primordial point. Right, this was built into creation, and the first rain could only come when there was a man alive who could daven for it and appreciate this system, the symbiotic relationship that we have, or whatever. I don't know if symbiotic is probably the wrong word here. Right, this, yes, it's definitely the wrong word, not symbiotic. This dependence relationship, right, this relationship of dependence on God that depends on us. Depends on God, but therefore depends on us doing the right things that God wants to provide for us. And again, for Rashi, this notion is literally built into creation from day one. Now, with that in mind, something else becomes clear. And that is something that is hard to appreciate outside of Israel. But that is the fact that all the Yamim Tovim, right, all the Shalosh Regalim, really, are fundamentally on the agricultural cycle, right? And half of their definition is where they fall in the agricultural cycle, right? The Shalosh Regalim have a historical aspect to it as well, right? Pesach is Yitzhiat Mitzrayim, Shavuot is Zman Matan Torah, and Sukkot commemorates us traveling through the desert. But they also have an agricultural component because the way that God ensures that we are spiritual in Israel is to attach holidays where we're forced to recognize God in an intense way because we have special mitzvot, special celebrations. We show up in the Beit HaMikdash, which is the Makom HaShchinah. We do that specifically at times that are significant on the agricultural calendar. So, in Dvarim Perek Tet Zayin, we find out that Pesach is always, Chodesh is always in Chodesh Ha'aviv. Right? It is the beginning of the spring, meaning right after the rainy season. It's the beginning of the harvest. Sukkot is Be'osbecha Migar Necha Mi'ekvecha. It's at the end of the dry season and the harvest season, right before the rain begins again. That's why it's the harvest. It's the end of the season. And Shavuot is the fruit harvest, right? Which is several months after the beginning of the grain harvest at Pesach. And the reason that the Shalosh Regalim are built into the agricultural cycle is for the same idea, because the agricultural cycle is built on the rain cycle, and the rain cycle is the way that God conveys his happiness with us, or his lack thereof. Now, if you ever learn Masechet Ta'anit, you'll know that Masechet Ta'anit, a few more minutes. Oh, okay. I felt like 5 more minutes. Masechet Ta'anit, right, after Sukkot, if it doesn't rain, so then we start panicking, and every few weeks, right, we intensify our fasts as we don't get rain. The reason is because as soon as Sukkot is over, it should rain, right? And if it doesn't rain for a few weeks, that's bad. If it doesn't rain for a month, that's really bad. If it doesn't rain for 2 months, it's really, really bad. Right? Sukkot is the kickoff for us knowing, oh, we're starting the rain season again, we collected last year's stuff, we celebrated, we thanked God, we start the dependent cycle again. God, we need it to rain so that next year we'll be successful. And if it doesn't, then we have to start panicking and doing tshuva, etc. And that, like I said, is built into the very fabric of the agricultural cycle. And the Shalosh Regalim are built into the agricultural cycle in turn. Now, I will note that this is in different places in Chumash. You actually get different focuses on this, right? Because the Shalosh Regalim are mentioned 4 times in Chumash, in Shmot, where the only mitzvah that's recognized there is Aliyah LaRegel, and it's only describes it on the solar calendar. In Vayikra, it describes the lunar and the solar chagim because it adds the chagei tishrei, which are not solar based, are not agricultural based. And there you get the mitzvah that are unique to each holiday. In Bamidbar, you only hear about the lunar cycle, I mean, you only hear about their dates. You don't hear about the agricultural components of each chag, and there you hear about the karbanot. And in Dvarim, you hear again about the agricultural ones. And the mitzvah discussed are Aliyah L'Regel and the mitzvah of being Mesamech L'Aniyim. And there is an interesting analysis that to be done on why it is that in certain places in Tanakh you hear about only the sort of the dates, the which normally line up with the historical components of the Chagim, because they're based on the months rather than the seasons. And then the harvest-based or the agricultural-based Chagim. I'll just note that at some level, the historical significance of the Chagim and their agricultural significance do seem to match up. Because Pesach is the beginning of the harvest season on the agricultural cycle, and historically, we commemorate the beginning of the nation. Shavuot is when we start sort of the more mature part of the season, right? Not quite the end of the season, but you collect the things that mature 2 months later, right? The fruit and wheat rather than barley, which is historically when we got the Torah, which is sort of when we began our maturation process. And Sukkot, which celebrates the end of the process, celebrates the 40 years in the desert, which took us from the beginning of a nation all the way to Eretz Yisrael when we reached sort of complete nationhood. So there is a nice little parallel between the agricultural commemoration of these and their historical components as well. I think I'll stop there with the basic. That's sort of the basic sketch. There are more details that can be pinned down, but I think that gives you a basic notion of the theology of rain in Tanakh and its connection to the agricultural cycle, the Shalosh Regalim, and why all of this is in the eyes of Tanakh what makes Israel unique from Mitzrayim. So let's stop there, and I'll have a Chag Sameach, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you very much.
Let's go ahead.